Hi, this is comedian Liz Blanc, and you're listening to The Default Setting with Jess Falstick and Gigi Chick, presented by Above Below Entertainment.
You tick because we have ways of making you talk. My name is Jess Falstick, and I have a very special co-host today. Would you like to introduce yourself?
I'm Elizabeth Seaman.
Lizzie Jessie.
Yeah, that's what she calls me all the time.
I know.
Doesn't change.
Someday she's going to murder me in my sleep.
I'll wait till you're sleeping, though.
Yeah, murder me in my sleep.
I'm really nice.
Yeah, no. She'll just, like, inject me with some fucking ricin or something.
Yeah.
Today, our guest is comedian and not telemarketer, Mr. Dan Experience. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm actually a fan of this podcast,
Yay!
Which, as far as quote unquote local podcasts or whatever, usually it's just some asshole that stumbles along and mutters, but this one's good.
I'm glad you're here. I feel like this is cool because Dan and I kind of bonded over Facebook. Because we've seen each other, I've definitely seen you perform a couple times at Funny Stop. And then we bonded just because we were talking about, like, we're like the only two people we know that can have, like, rational, logical conversations about controversial topics on social media.
We were talking about guns, you know?
And then we were just like, we should do a podcast together because we can actually talk to each other and be friends and have differing opinions and not want to be like, fuck you and your whole family and I hope you die. So Dan, you said your default setting is apathy.
Apathy.
Okay.
I find it very hard to care about things.
Okay.
Yeah.
And is that, in general, does that also apply to people, or is it just kind of topics, or how does it?
Kind of everything.
Okay.
Like, it's, I mean, there are things that I care about, but even the things that I care about, I don't really care that much about.
Okay.
Like, I mean, I have really strong opinions on politics, but at the same time, like, I don't vote or anything like that. Like, I,
that sounds like a contradiction.
Kind of, yeah. I'm not saying that it's consistent, but, yeah, I don't know. It's people, when they enter my life, it takes a while for me to give a crap about them.
Yeah.
Subjects, social issues, just, and nothing stresses me out. Like, things that most people stress out about, like their job or if they get in a car accident, doesn't really affect me.
Wow. I can't envy that.
Yeah. Well, I feel like it's got pros and cons.
Yeah.
It definitely has pros and
cons. Do you see more pros or cons?
Yeah.
Probably more cons.
Okay.
It's not a great way to live.
Okay.
And I'm certain it pisses my girlfriend off a lot.
Having dated some very apathetic men, I would have to heartily agree. It is. But I think they were also, it was a depression thing.
Oh, I'm no stranger to depression.
Okay, so that's
and
another
anxiety.
Thing. It was kind of like a, okay, is this just like what you feel like
they
is
couldn't
your
care.
Normal?
Yeah.
Or like your personality? Or do you think it's like a, hey, if I took pills, maybe it would help?
I'm on pills. Depression, anxiety, I've had drug problems, drinking problems. I'm just a big old ball of defense mechanisms.
Yeah.
My most prominent one is apathy, though. I will say one of the pros about it is, like, I do not lead a healthy lifestyle, never have. I eat like crap. I smoke, drinking, drugs, all that in my past. But every time I go to the doctor, blood pressure, 118 over 78, every time.
Yeah.
I'm going to outlive everybody because I do not get stressed out.
You're going to outlive everybody from a health perspective, but then the bus will come.
Yes, probably.
The giant squid will show up and then it will all end. So, okay, you talk about it being sort of your default. Is it something that you realized in your youth that you were like, I can't get invested? Like, I just want to, but I can't.
It's actually interesting. A couple of weeks ago, I was talking to my friend Felicia. Hi, Felicia.
Oh,
and
it's nice for someone to finally say hi.
Yay!
To Felicia.
Yeah, yeah. You know what's funny?
She hasn't heard that in a long time.
Yeah. I only hang out with her like every now and then, and even I'm tired of the bi Felicia thing. Like, I can only imagine what it's like for her.
Put that together, she's so happy. Okay. Sorry, that's
sorry, Felicia. No, she never hears that either.
Yeah.
Oh god.
But yeah, I was talking to her about it, and we both kind of had fucked up childhoods, and we were talking about it, and we think that like having a fucked up childhood gives you certain defense mechanisms. And I think that me just not getting emotionally invested in things was my way of coping with shit as a kid.
Okay. Do you remember, like, was there a definitive moment where you realized, like, did you have to force yourself, or you just realized you just kind of started doing it? Like, that you just stopped
caring? I kind of remember always being this. Apathetic. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Like, my memories don't kick in until, like, 13, 12 or 13. Okay. So I don't know what I was like before that. Sure. But as far as I remember, I've always been
pretty
just
whatever.
Water off a duck's ass.
Yeah. Did you have like a moment of like self-realization where you're like, oh, that should bother me, but it really doesn't? Or do you even have those moments?
Really, actually, it's all kind of recent that I've done this kind of self-examination and realized, like, looking at myself, like, you should probably care about some more shit than you actually do.
That's nice that it's at least you're realizing it through self-examination. I find like a lot of people who are really apathetic, like the only reason they start questioning things, it's other people's reactions.
Yes.
You know? It's just them reading the room going like, oh, is this supposed to be important?
Yeah.
So that's good.
I mean,
thank you.
To her point, I mean, was there anything that really like initiated like I need to be more self-reflective, or would you just have that moment where
it actually started because of my anxiety issues.
Okay.
And it was basically, I don't know, maybe like 6 or 7 years ago. It got to a point where it was, I'm either going to get this under control or I'm going to shoot myself. Like and I went a while in my life being suicidal things, suicidal thoughts and whatever, which I don't think is unique to comedians.
It's not at all, no.
Nor do I think anxiety or depression are.
It's
yeah.
for everybody.
Yeah.
It's not just for kids. Like tricks.
Unlike tricks, suicide is for everyone.
Let the rabbit have it.
Oh, shit, that's funny.
That was amazing.
But yeah, so I ended up going to like therapy and shit like that, which kind of just kickstarted me like, Dan, be honest with yourself about everything. Yeah. And so I worked through the anxiety, through the depression and all that shit. And it's kind of now being honest about myself and cognizant of my own shortcomings is just kind of something that I do ever since then.
And would you say like that's like the number one thing? Because, you know, you mentioned it as being as a default setting. Is it something you want to work on, or are you pretty accepting of it at this point, or...
For the most part, I'm kind of happy with it. Like I said, I never get stressed out. Like the rare times that I do get stressed out, my body does not handle it well because it is not used to it.
I have a follow up for when you're done.
Okay. But yeah, I'd like to be able to care about things that I should care about, and I think that I'm doing a pretty decent job of that. Like I care about my girlfriend. I care about my cats.
Yeah.
Plus, it's a process. You're saying it was just a few years ago that you started
doing
that. So, I mean, it doesn't happen all at once.
Yeah. I think I'm on a decent track. I never want to get to a point where I'm stressed out about shit that I see other people getting stressed out about.
Sure.
Like, driving, sometimes I get a little, like, hurry the fuck up.
Yeah.
But for the most part, driving, work, everything, it doesn't stress me out.
Well, so, okay, that was my follow-up was, like, so... In your mind, what's the difference between, like, your anxiety and your depression? Because for me, I find that a lot of times they kind of become intertwined. This, like, stressful situations, and then they make me anxious, or I'm anxious, and then I'm getting stressed. So I guess what's the difference to you? Because you said you had such bad anxiety, but not stress.
Yeah, for me, I guess that when I was deep in my anxiety, there was stress that went along with it. But I can't take credit for this. I saw it somewhere online, but... For me, anxiety is constantly being afraid that you're going to die, and depression is constantly wanting to die.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So when you're in the anxiety, it's like, I don't want to die, but I'm terrified that I'm going to. And then you hit depression, and you're like, all I want to do is die. So,
yeah,
there's never really any peace when you're bouncing back and forth between that.
Right. Well, I think we actually talked about on your episode because her default was depression, and I think we talked about how it's an interesting thing how those two things go hand in hand, and yet they're so polar opposite.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Do you find, so when you had anxiety, I mean, you mentioned apathy has always kind of been a piece of you. So how did apathy play into, like, I mean, did it kind of fall by the wayside a lot when you were experiencing anxiety?
Honestly, I think it might have helped me get through some of the anxiety because the stress from my anxiety was 90% of the time it was, I think I'm having a stroke and I'm about to die. If I had other shit on top of that that I was having to deal with, it probably would have been way too much.
Okay.
And I think that my apathy actually might have helped me through it.
Sure.
Since I wasn't worrying about
everything else.
Yeah, exactly.
I totally get that. I think when I was depressed, though, even though when, like, I don't know if you guys have had this, but, like, when you get so depressed, you're like, can't get out of bed because you don't care about anything.
Oh, yeah.
But sometimes it feels kind of, like, it feels terrible because you don't want to be like that. But for me, anyway, a lot of times, like, my depression moods like that, there's a lot of anxiety in the buildup. So when I get that apathetic and I don't care about anything, it kind of feels nice.
100%.
Yeah, I'm like, oh,
yes.
Man.
I
cared about everything, and now I care about nothing.
Yeah, 100%. Yes. I've talked about this before with some people. There's something, when you deal with depression for so long, it becomes comfortable. That doesn't mean that it becomes like a fun place to be.
Yeah, like you don't
but
want
you're,
it.
You're
but
you're comfortable with it. And I even sometimes now, like over the past year, I've started being happier and I'm not entirely comfortable with it. Like it's way better.
It's uneasy. Yeah.
It's way better, but I'm way more comfortable
even
still.
Just, yeah, like just, accepting people like you want to be around you. You're kind of like, what is up?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Like I know this is a good thing, but also I hate myself, so it's a little confusing.
And I know secretly you
like,
all hate me.
Yeah.
Stop acting like
you
don't.
And then the depression, I hate myself. Anxiety, you all actually hate me. So I don't understand what's going on here. I feel like I'm falling for a trap.
Now please give me a thunderstorm and a blanket and let me just go to bed.
Yeah, right.
That is true. The one thing that now that the weather is finally nice, like I'm like, now I feel obligation to like not be in a tent in my bed for
I could just get cloudy so I could live on the couch again.
Right.
Like, that'd be kind of nice.
Well, I mean, we all bitch about it because like we can't walk outside without putting on 18 layers, but then also like now I literally feel obligated to like go for walks and go boating.
See,
and
I do not bitch
that's
about
good. That's
I run
good.
Hot.
See?
This already is too hot for me. I'm done with it.
Sauna.
There's only like 4 days out of the year that I'm happy with the weather. And I already had two of them a couple of weeks ago.
Oh,
so
no.
I got to wait till fall for the other two.
I run cold. Like my hands are almost always cold.
Oh,
but
really?
I like it that way. Mm. I don't want to be freezing.
Yeah.
But like I'd rather be a little cold
That's
than like
true.
Sweating.
Yeah.
Every time I sweat, I'm just like, no, I feel dirty now.
Yeah.
I need to shower.
During the summer, I constantly feel like I need to shower.
Like a billion times. I'm going to waste all my facial products because I have to shower over and over again, and this moisturizer is expensive. It's imported.
Well, it's a good thing you live in a climate where it's only hot for like 90 days because then...
It doesn't feel like it. Well, today it's 86.
Yeah, tomorrow's supposed to be in the 50s.
And Sunday, when we were at Bar Louie, it was
42.
40, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it was freezing.
Yeah.
Walking around, well, I was still
and like
sweating
3 days, it's
sweating.
Like gone up 45 degrees. It's insane.
Which is always fun on the sinuses when it yells
back
and forth.
Thank
like
you.
That. Yeah.
As you might hear from my voice this whole time. It's been a blast.
Thanks for turning into the default setting when we bitch about the weather and our sinuses.
My hands are so
cold.
I
quit smoking.
My arthritis is kicking in. It's about to rain soon.
Pass me one of those Virginia Slims.
Jess, how's your gout?
My gout. So... Look at Brutus. So Brutus is a giant furry cat, and he's so hot that like he's airing out right now. We're like all 4 feet are in the air.
Oh my god!
And he's just hot.
I already apologized for not holding him because it was hot.
Yeah, they were like having a moment. She's like, I would hug you, but it's hot.
I held him for a little bit, and then I'm like, oh my god.
This is the thing that fucking sucks about Ohio is there's no in between. It's either fucking freezing or it's hot as balls.
Yep.
And that's all we get. And
but we all live here like idiots.
We do.
None
we
of
do.
Us left.
No one's going
anywhere. There's lots of pros. I heard
name
you on the last
seven.
Episode.
What I said.
You guys were talking about Cleveland, and you're like, you're not living in Cleveland. Stay there. We're like, Boo. Yeah. Cleveland's awesome.
Well,
what is awesome about Cleveland?
I'll fight everybody.
All right, let's go.
We're going to make this entire... No, we're going to... I don't want to derail the podcast.
No, we'll get back. We'll get back. We're only 14 minutes in. We got time.
We got time
to do this.
It's pretty fucking cheap. We don't have a lot of traffic.
This is true.
We have tons of cool little indie places. We have the lake. We have a beach.
That lake stinks.
No, I love that lake. I love that lake. It looks like the ocean, but there's no sea creatures that are going to kill you.
All right, I can go with you on that.
Yeah.
I will have, the only thing I will say, I love the lake. And to your point, I think you're right. Because I used to live in Columbus and the traffic was worse and there's no lake there.
I don't like being
landlocked. So I would say it is better than... Columbus.
The Cleveland Metro Parks.
Yes.
Which are beautiful and huge and amazing. Because of the lake, it stays cooler here longer than it does other places in the state because it retains the cold. And then it stays warmer because we have the shallowest of the Great Lakes.
Yeah.
So it maintains the
really
warmth.
Really?
You know a lot about Lake Erie.
I know a lot about Cleveland because I'm a very pugnacious Clevelander. And I've been abroad. Spider has all those jokes and I'm just like, as soon as he said them on stage, like, people bitch about the river catching on fire. It's probably slightly inherited because my dad told me the story and then I learned about it. I'm like, yeah, well, because that river caught on fire, P.S. Everybody's rivers were catching on fire.
That's
then.
True.
Everyone's yeah. rivers were catching on fire. One time, Cleveland's, the Cuyahoga River became, it was on the cover of Time magazine. And because of that, we have the EPA.
Yep, it's true.
You're welcome.
100% true.
As a libertarian, I disagree with the EPA.
No one's saying EPA is good.
It is good.
This is actually another pro of my apathy,
yes.
is I can have those kind of political discussions.
Yeah. Maybe that's why you guys
are
emotionally
invested.
That's
why
exactly.
you guys can be so chill.
Yeah.
Well, I can be logical unless people are like saying something like...
Insane.
Like, screw all the poor people. I'm like, okay, well now, now we're going to have like...
Hold on. Back it up.
You can't just like all of a sudden
categorical.
Get real like racist or something on it and then expect me to remain chill.
I actually end up getting more pissed off with people that I agree with acting like idiots. Like, you are misrepresenting me and you are making me look bad.
There's so many people who claim to be libertarians where I'm like, you work a minimum wage job and you have no skills. Like, what do you think would happen if we were all like real libertarians? You'd die. You would get sick. You couldn't start a fire. Like,
confused. So, and then this kind of goes back to the previous podcast. I was like, I don't know the difference between Marxism and communism, but honestly, I don't really know what the traditional definition or the actual legitimate definition of libertarian is. Because here's my thing, like, as Dan has sort of experienced, like, I'm not flaming liberal by any stretch of the imagination. I am also nowhere near conservative because I grew up in the sticks, but also
surprisingly pro-life, aren't you though? No.
No, we were just talking about suicide earlier and I was like, yes, everyone should commit suicide.
I am pro-death.
Euthanasia.
No, it's funny. I keep saying, I think I've told Elizabeth this, I keep saying whenever I drive home from here or down 71, I see there's a sign that says, abortion is fake feminism.
I just saw one that said...
And abortion is genocide.
Abortion is systematic racism.
Systematic racism. I see another one that says abortion is population control, but it's all the same group that's putting up these billboards. But here's the thing. Outside my apartment, there's one that's got a cute picture of a pig, and it was like, do you really want him to die for your food? And then
yes.
it was like separate but
100%.
Vegan or equal but vegan or some insane shit. And I was like, I really want to put that billboard right above the abortion and genocide one and just watch the best version of World War III unfold where all the extreme liberals and all the extreme conservatives just murder each other.
Yeah.
But I was just thinking
the extremes are assholes on both sides.
Right.
You have to be reasonable. That's
the
whole thing. Like, be reasonable.
That's where I'm unclear, like, where libertarians lie, because I think I mistakenly always kind of presumed that they were more, like, in the middle.
Here's the thing.
Wait, super side note. I was thinking about vegans on the way over here, and I was wondering if they feel worse than everybody else, like, when they hit a squirrel or something.
That's a good point. Feed their dogs, like, meat.
I was driving down the street to get here, and a squirrel shot out. And then I slammed on the brakes and my purse and the beer go flying onto the floor.
Oh, for this fucking squirrel.
And then I'm just like, fuck you, squirrel. My beers better not be all shaken.
Yeah.
And then I was like, I wonder how vegans feel about
roadkill. Yeah, right? Like, do they just have to, like, go into remission?
Yeah,
like,
or what if, like, what about animals that die of a natural death? Like, Are they? I don't
like
know.
Mutton. Like, that's what mutton
I don't
is.
Think you should eat animals that die of natural death.
Well, I guess it depends
death.
On what
that's
that
what
death
is.
AIDS?
Like, AIDS? Well, you know. Mutton.
Can animals get AIDS?
Cats
well,
can.
Yeah, they came from monkeys, didn't they? Yeah,
monkeys.
Yeah, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
So here's the thing.
Oh, there's a really good episode on Radiolab about AIDS.
Oh, and how? Yes.
Oh, patient zero.
Oh my God.
God.
Sorry.
Listen,
sorry.
Listen to Radiolab.
We're really not apathetic about Radiolab.
Radiolab. Patient zero. They even have like an updated one.
There was like apparently
so
like some
good.
Really slutty dude in Toronto or Montreal or something
well,
who banged
like
all
California.
These people, and then they looked like through like they're like, oh, it's this flight attendant dude that banged all these guys, and that's how AIDS happened.
They think that a hunter. Got it from and the oh god it's so, I'm just
we're getting off so many
going off this giant tangent just spoiling everything so basically like the way that HIV as we know it was created was literally one cannibalistic monkey had to eat another cannibalistic monkey
it morphed
so that these very like these totally separate viruses and things
and
combined
mutated.
In its stomach and mutated and then a poacher probably killed a chimp and cut himself while he was like chopping up the chimp.
Wow.
And then brought it back to one of these, like, going down the river somewhere in Africa.
Bigger towns.
To a town, and that's how it happened.
That is
was
a lot
fucking.
Of things that have
oh
to happen.
There's
it was like
exactly
the perfect storm
yeah.
of horrible
yeah.
things. Yeah.
That's like how Neil deGrasse Tyson says how people start, how life on Earth started. Like, it was...
Just like AIDS.
It was so... it was such a crazy slim chance that it actually happened that there's probably... no life anywhere else in the universe except for maybe bacteria, which is very comforting to me because I think aliens suck.
But how can you, I mean, if
not Neil deGrasse Tyson said it, I believe everything.
La, la,
you
la,
get
la,
Neil deGrasse Tyson here right
la,
now.
La, la, la.
Neil deGrasse Tyson.
No, I want to know the follow-up. What were you going to say?
What was I going to say?
We just start
oh, if the universe
somebody
is
fight,
infinite,
somebody
how could there
Neil
not
deGrasse,
be aliens?
Fight Neil deGrasse Tyson.
See,
well,
I will.
No, fuck that guy. He's so like,
no.
he ruins everything. Like
no,
he just
he does. He can't even watch a movie without being
sport.
An ass.
The Avengers. Did you see his Avengers
no,
tweet?
I didn't.
He was spoiling
no.
that too.
I didn't watch that because I mean, I don't care about him in Avengers. I care about him in science.
Wait.
And what he says was science. I'm like, solid.
So literally the expanse of the universe and the infinite possibility, there's no other life on any
other
planet.
Well, he said
planet.
If there is other life, it's probably, like, it's very small, like bacteria or viruses.
And we're the only
evolved.
How does
evolved. He know?
Because he's done the math.
He's Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Right. Oh, my God. He came to talk at my school one time.
Did he really?
And I got to see him
that's
for free.
That's really kind of cool.
And he's so funny. Mm. Jesus, it was awesome. Anyway.
Honestly, he's somewhat humble. So to, like, to the point we've been making, like, I've heard him on shows where they've like been like, hey, what about like he was on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. I don't know if you've ever
oh,
listened.
God.
It's like an online
really
or it's a podcast where they do like a game show.
Well,
they
it's
have
also
it
it's on the weekends on NPR.
And he did a quiz about really stupid shit. It wasn't anything scientific, but he got them all wrong. Like he got all the questions wrong. And he was like, I learned shit. And I was like, see, I like that.
I like that attitude.
That's a
yeah.
good
yeah.
attitude.
Yeah.
So how are you guys going to be hating on him? Saying that's
oh,
not
I'm not hating him.
I am because
oh
he's
God.
Wrong about aliens.
No, he's not.
I've seen him.
I love it. Oh, God.
Dan is
no,
not
I haven't.
To Neil
no.
deGrasse Tyson.
I feel like ever since I saw Signs, I'm like, if we ever learn about...
That movie sucked.
If we ever learn about intelligent life somewhere, I'll just kill myself.
Okay, so here's a question.
I don't
so,
want
like,
it.
So, because I honestly don't know and I legitimately would like to, like, when you have apathy, do you still have strong opinions about things?
There are a few things
aliens
I have really
appear.
Strong.
Like, I mean, like, movies.
And here's the thing. Like, you just saw me being like, no, there's aliens. a lot of the time, I act like I'm really invested
but
in something,
really
but I'm not.
It.
It's just
okay.
funny to me. Like,
yeah, yeah.
oh, so you're just like the troll who's
I,
like, I'll get these people going.
Yeah, but I don't go around shouting the N-word
going.
At people
he
or blaming
no,
the
no,
Jews
no.
for everything.
No.
well, so, blaming the Jews for
I said I don't blame the Jews. For everything.
This podcast will never air. This will never air.
Too inflammatory.
It's going to be one song like, beep, the beep, Neil deGrasse Tyson, beep.
Fight, I'll fight Neil deGrasse Tyson. That's what it
comes back. What are they saying? I don't know.
So you were going to explain what libertarian
yes, please, someone
is
explain
to, you.
To me what the hell.
Before
okay.
we started talking
actually,
about aliens.
Wait, so real quick sidebar, because you were talking about how like Dan and I, like so Dan and I can
we're
have logical conversations. Because
sidebar.
Of apathy, like I literally, my problem, I actually have been having, I've been having self chats with myself in my brain for the last couple weeks, like, Jess, you're being too sensitive. There used to be a time when I didn't care, and I think because antidepressants and like there's a lot of shit going on in my life where like I have to care now, it's triggered like other pieces that shouldn't care but are caring too much. And so for me, when you and I have a conversation, it might come from you from apathy, but like I value logic over emotion, and that's where
I do too. 100%. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I didn't know, like,
which I feel like a lot of times people don't realize that when they're having those conversations, because I feel like just as I've gotten older, I've realized that more, you know, it's kind of like, oh, is this an emotional response or is this a logical response? And then you can like,
you learn so back. Much.
You can learn so much more.
Yes.
And I think maybe just a lot of people, especially on social media, like when you guys are having those conversations, just aren't there.
Secretly, yeah. I like being pious and being like, I mean, like when you're willing you're to be like logical.
Super humble.
Well, when you're logical, you learn more, and that makes you like, I don't know, I feel better than when I'm
see,
like,
I'm not gonna lie, I feel better than most people. In addition to being apathetic, I'm an egomaniac. Like,
oh my god, like all the guys I dated!
I'm a real catch. My girlfriend must be thrilled.
My goodness.
Do you have a brother, Dan?
Because I need to avoid him at all costs.
But yeah, when I'm having those conversations online, there is definitely a part of me that thinks, if I don't put my foot in my mouth, I'm going to look way better than these people.
Yeah.
And my ego kicks in. Which helps keep me from
saying something really emotionally driven.
I think the other part to that too is when you're having conversations with people like that, my thing is what I've been doing for the last few years, and it's one of the things like, I've got depression, but I'm also proud of myself about a thing, so figure that out. But I'm like, you know what? I like to think about where is this person coming from. Like, it also helps like when you're acknowledging where their emotional stuff is coming from. Like, I like all these people who talk about how they hate gays and all this stuff. It's like, where is it coming from? It's probably because they're scared or it's something's been beaten into them or, you know, so it's like, I don't think people are normally that hateful.
Yeah.
I just think there's a thing that they're not acknowledging. Yeah. If they were more introspective and could come to it, then we could actually all talk on the same logical field.
Yeah.
But that means a lot. So a lot of these people who are really emotional and hateful and stuff, it's just them not being honest with themselves.
I could agree with that. And I think that, you ever start a sentence and then you forget where you're going with
absolutely.
It?
Oh, absolutely. Especially when I'm high.
That
was fun. All the time. No, it's totally
I cannot get high anymore.
That happens regularly. Well, it cracks me up how many people like I know that are like, I get high to go on stage. I'm like, oh my God, I can't finish
that would be a nightmare.
I can't remember my jokes when I'm stone sober. I cannot understand how people do that.
I would either be trapped in a panic attack or I would be giggling uncontrollably at nothing. Either way, it would not make for good comedy.
Yeah, no, I don't know how people do it, honestly. But like, so, okay.
I did remember what I was just about to say. Yeah, when you're talking with people about touchy subjects, something that I pride myself on, I can understand just about any position that I disagree with. Like, when it comes to guns, I'm a pro-gun guy. I understand why people want to get rid of guns. I think a lot of people just aren't willing to put themselves in someone else's shoes and think, why might they think this? They just assume, well, they hate freedom or whatever.
Right. Well, and that was what I think, like, the bulk of our conversation is I was legitimately trying to understand, like, does it come, because you were talking about how you were pro-gun, does it come from a fear that it's a slippery slope into where the government can kind of, you know what I mean? We had that sort of whole discussion where they can come in. Like, you don't want to open any doors or gates into possibilities where it could be the exact opposite. My favorite, what I always think of when people talk about gun control and being in favor of like having, you know, the Second Amendment and all that kind of stuff. I'm a huge Simpsons nerd, as exhibited by the fact that I have a Simpsons shirt and a Simpsons tattoo.
Nice.
Right now.
I'm not the only one with cartoon tattoos.
Right.
Nice.
I have a Simpsons
Simpsons season one today.
I'm going to get another one probably at some point too. But like, there's an episode of Treehouse of Horrors, and I think of the board with the nail in it, where like the aliens take over and they got rid of all the guns, and then all they have is a board with a nail in it, like to like try and fight the aliens off because they got rid of all the guns.
Well, Neil deGrasse Tyson said there's no aliens.
So. Oh, we're back in that. And that, to that point, I definitely see it. I just it's horrible that people can think it's so many things are so black and white because anytime you start going down these paths, like it opens up like
none of it's simple.
I mean, I feel like with gun stuff, like black and white, people should be able to have guns, but they should be able to have like reasonable guns, like assault rifles.
Right.
And that's this is going to get us completely.
I don't know. Those, they just feel like a little more like it's, I'm not disagreeing. It seems like a weird, unnecessary hobby.
I'm not disagreeing. I do still want to know what the actual traditional definition is.
Actually, this actually ties perfectly. First of all, ask any libertarian, you're going to get a different definition okay. every time. For me, it is all about the non-aggression principle, which means my rights end where yours begin, and we shouldn't throw people in cages unless they are victimizing other people.
Okay.
So in my opinion, like taking guns, for example, owning a gun, just having a gun, nobody's a victim there. Mm-hmm. When you shoot someone with the gun, right. there's a victim. So that's where the crime is.
Right.
If you want to do drugs, there's no victim. Right. Maybe yourself, but I also believe that you should have the right
to do what you want with your body.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So that's my definition of libertarianism.
And see, that's what I thought it was too, because here's the thing. Like, I used to be married to a guy who considered himself conservative, but at the same time, I think he really did lean more libertarian mm-hmm. because he was very much of sort of the mindset that it was like, people should be allowed to do what they want with their bodies. Ultimately, if that doesn't directly affect and injure other people. And that's a really good perspective to have, because I mean, I'm very much of the camp of we should be allowed to have abortions if it affects our lives directly because it's our bodies. Mm-hmm. And that transitions into if I'm doing drugs and it's not affecting other people. Given the fact that our prisons are already so overcrowded, you know what I mean, with people who have committed nonviolent drug-related crimes or just nonviolent crimes mm-hmm. in general.
Especially ones involving marijuana.
Right, exactly. Like, and I mean, not just marijuana, but even like, you know, I mean, just anything where you were just doing drugs by yourself, not mm-hmm. driving, not hurting someone else, and you ended up getting thrown in a prison cell with somebody who's murdered and raped a bunch of people and who might get out sooner than you if he has a better lawyer, or depending on who the judge was that day. Yeah. You know what I mean?
And even take that one step further. If we're talking about, let's say, a drug offense, the fact that it's illegal creates the black market for it, which right. leads to violent criminals.
Which is why marijuana should definitely be legal.
Yeah,
100%. And then, also, when you have someone who has gone to jail and has been in the system, they're much more likely to, when they get out, become a violent offender. Yeah. Like, we're creating criminals where there shouldn't be any.
Right. And that's all the systematic racism involved, too.
Right.
There's
so many things. That's the problem.
When it comes to, like, the guns and the drugs, and I guess that's where I go more left, is, like, yeah, there's, with the drugs, for example, we're having all these problems now with people abusing prescription drugs, and then that goes to heroin, right. and there's all these overdoses. Like, at that point, I think it is affecting everyone else. You know, like, it gets,
I can see that point.
There are certain things where it does affect, because especially if it was like these people, they don't have money to necessarily get help yeah. or go to the doctor. So that's getting thrown onto the system. But at the same time, I think that marijuana should be legal because I don't think there would be as many people
sure.
getting, you know, relying on the government when they get stuck with all these hardcore drug problems
ethical environment that we could, like, take samples of people and really figure out
that
would affect. I mean, it's not, I mean, obviously there's no ethical way to do it.
But what they're talking about, like,
yeah, actually, I just realized we're getting dangerously close to Nazi territory with that. No, let's just run experiments on the people. And that does not pair well with my comment about Jews earlier.
But what I'm fascinated by, because I did a lot of, I went into journalism and communication, but we also did a lot of, like, not necessarily statistics, but just kind of, we would posit these hypotheses. And, the thing that I got my undergrad degree with was essentially, like, I chose to study people holding doors open for one another in a rural environment where I grew up, and people holding doors open for one another in a more urban environment where I was living at the time when I was in college. And, like, just kind of comparing, are people in rural environments nicer to each other? Are people in, you know, more urban environments more rude? And I think that not necessarily experimenting, but just finding an ethical way to observe that, to isolate it and to observe it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And there's just no real way to do that.
But I feel like there's been enough research on marijuana and the effects of marijuana. It's like, marijuana isn't good for kids.
Right.
Lots of things aren't good for kids.
Right.
Like,
before
the age of, like, 21, like, it could mess up your brain.
Right.
Like, that's jacked.
Right.
Don't do that.
Honestly, nobody should be drinking before they're 25.
Right. Yeah, right.
Like,
you're talking about, like, physiologically.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, not legally, but yeah. physiologically, your brain's not done developing until you're about 25.
Or, you know, like, if there were more options for, like, very low alcohol content things, so it didn't seem like such forbidden fruit for people.
Yeah.
You know, like, I feel like because it's 21 here as opposed to, like, some places in Europe. Not that there aren't, like, Euro trash
right.
kids and
right.
stuff that happen there, but it's never been something that's been, like, completely out of reach, so people don't necessarily go as hard so early. And I feel like, you know, if people had marijuana, and its studies show
also
that, like,
their healthcare system
is a great alternative.
The
to
marijuana
a lot
thing
of these
is
things.
Just absurd, and it's it has so, been for years.
It's
even if,
just
even
old,
if
weird old white Christian dudes,
yeah,
throwing.
I can't wait
until
like 20 more years when we're all like our age group is in charge, because I want to see what the fuck happens. Like,
same
God.
Shit. Nothing's
gonna
change.
You don't think it's gonna
and
change?
This is why I'm apathetic and why I don't vote. Everybody
matter.
Does their thing.
Yeah,
I do
maybe,
my thing.
So you really don't think like a younger
our age people will like approve euthanasia?
I think certain things will change. I mean, we've already seen like the gay marriage thing
sure,
changing.
Sure, that's a great point.
The marijuana thing is starting
to
change.
Spread,
yeah. Now that all the rich old white people are like, we can make money.
Is
off
apathy
of it.
Like to apathy? Like, do you just not have much optimism about anything either?
Not
it's
really.
Just kind
of
sentimental.
No. It's not necessarily
it's not
a pessimism
okay,
either.
So,
yeah,
no, that's what I'm interested to know, though. Like, it doesn't go either way. So
yeah,
like,
it really is just a live and let live. Like, everybody's going to do their thing regardless of why.
And
what I
and
do.
And you don't try to change anyone's minds with, like, even when you have, like, logical arguments with things? Or do
I mean,
you hope for that?
I'll try to change someone's
so
mind,
a,
but it, but it's not.
There's optimism there that in the hopes that you can.
No, because I don't think I'm going to change anybody's mind.
So you don't actually think that it's going to happen, but do you hope that it's going to happen?
Sure.
Okay,
yeah.
So there's some
and you think that
there.
A little bit.
And you think that your opinion is the correct one. So I mean, that's
you believe in
not
something.
Apathetic.
You have some form of belief. Did
yes,
that-
but and this is why I say even the things that I care about, I don't really care about. If I cared that much about it, I'd vote or I'd get involved politically. Like, I've got strong opinions. I just don't. Whatever.
Do you find yourself? Like, the few things you do care about, did you have to force yourself, or did that come naturally?
I wouldn't say it was forcing myself. It was just being kind of marinating in things for long enough.
Okay.
You start to care about them.
Okay.
Like, it's not a, I should care about this person. I'm
so
gonna
it was
make
organic?
Myself.
It didn't
Yeah, it's just,
happen?
I've been around subject X, person X, whatever,
long enough. So it's not necessarily
things
that, like, affect you. Or, like, what do you mean, like, marinate?
Like, your girlfriend and your cats. You said you care about them.
Yeah.
Okay.
But about, like, the issues that we were talking about.
Is there anything you care about outside of people and, like, animals? Is a good question.
Comedy.
Question.
And this is actually a perfect example.
Yes, I would love to hear this.
There's almost nothing in the world I love as much as I love comedy.
Yay! This is the perfect podcast.
We're getting the train on
the
track. Train's back on the track. Aliens.
Yes.
I'm sorry. No.
No, stop it. Stop trying to derail it.
No.
Stop it.
AIDS.
No, back on the track.
Cannibal monkeys.
Back on the track.
What are we talking about? No.
Aliens and cannibalistic
Jews.
And Jews and Nazis. Yeah, this is. We're really covering a wide array of topics.
Pete's just on the back and just like, beep.
Series of encyclopedias right here. Oh, kids these days don't know what encyclopedias are.
No, they sure don't. Wikipedia, that's what they
yeah,
know.
Yeah, I used to go to
Sorry,
my grandma's house.
Sorry, it again. It's happening.
We need to do a report. I go to my grandma's house because she had a set of encyclopedias and she was a typist and she had a typewriter. Yeah, so I go back and then you like write stuff down and then she'd help me
Encarta?
Type it out.
Do you guys remember
Microsoft? Oh yeah, the CD-ROM.
with the shell?
Yeah.
The shell logo? I don't know, I remember logo.
Encarta, wow.
Fucking Encarta, man.
Good pull.
I haven't thought about that in a minute.
I know.
Yeah.
Burgundy with the seashell.
Right?
Damn.
So you care about comedy, which like
so much. I love comedy so much, but when? I'm so apathetic about it. I haven't done stand-up
Sometimes
in close
good,
to a
though.
Year now.
Why?
Okay, so probably my favorite thing in the world is being on stage and telling jokes. Mm-hmm. I hate everything else about comedy. Like, I don't want to be bothered with it. I don't want to be bothered with it. I don't want to be bothered with trying to find shows. I don't want to be bothered with dealing with Pete telling me not to say dick on stage.
She said fuck like four times on stage. She didn't get her mic cut. I was actually very proud
of her.
He's
so inconsistent.
Yeah,
with
I know.
It's,
I remember the first time
you,
I went there. I made it to the second round.
Oh, Pete gets so much on here.
The other male comics told me, it's like, yeah, it's because you got tits. No, like, awesome.
Cool.
Thanks.
No, so
you suck.
Could have been because you were funnier than
them.
Yeah,
I'm relatively sure.
That's not how that place works.
Yeah, yeah.
No.
I'm relatively sure I've only ever seen you perform at Funny Stop. Do you perform any? Had you performed anywhere else?
Yeah, I've done like Hilarities. I've done a bunch of like.
Where are you from? Like, is Funny Stop just close
Akron.
To you?
Akron. Funny Stop is literally 5 minutes
from
my apartment.
That's why, I've probably only seen you perform at Funny Stop.
That's a lot of people. I see them at Funny Stop a bunch, and I almost never see them up here.
Sure.
But it's always like, wow, this feels like too two different scenes. It's exactly. Only 45 yeah. minutes away. Except for people like Brett, and he just, like, he goes everywhere.
Do you know Brett Thomas? He drives from, like, south
that
of Canton.
That name sounds so
like,
familiar.
Every day a week.
Does well, he have so, glasses?
Yes.
Yeah, I know
and
that
he's
is.
At Funny Stop all the time, but then he also drives up here every night of the week.
He's so See, I don't have dedicated. That.
And that's it. He cares. And yeah. that's the thing. To his,
and Rookie of the Year.
I'm in the middle. Yes. I'm in the middle where it's like, I care. But I don't have energy. You know what I mean? Like, that's, I'm yeah. laughing. Do you find it's an energy
You know what?
Thing?
I think that I, what I do is I care super hard, and it does not take much to knock me
it
down
drains.
To caring not at all.
Do you think that, like, you pour so much energy into caring, you know, about one thing that it drains away from other things?
It could
that's
be.
My problem.
Yeah, it could
100%.
Be.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you but
yeah,
figure
like,
out how you want to distribute
yes,
your energy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I'm not a night person, so me it's been messing me up for a couple months.
And then you become a stand-up, you're like, oh no.
My God. Why am I getting home at 2:30 a.m. on Tuesday? I don't,
why am I hungover for 6 days?
Oh, man, I had the worst. When I first started doing stand-up and feeling like, well, I'm out, I might as well drink. Ugh. It's so dangerous.
How long have you been doing it?
I started 3-4 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah, something like that.
Okay.
Yeah, because I'm totally on with the drinking thing. Like, when you go out, you're like, I'm at a bar. Like, I'm not gonna.
Yeah. Right.
But my problem is like, oh, man, Taco Bell. Now.
Mm, yeah.
Because...
Yeah.
McDonald's.
Weekdays start feeling like weekends. So
yeah,
it's like,
yeah,
oh,
and that
God.
Is dangerous.
Something that you used to do once a week or once every few weeks turns into like
three times a
week.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, man, my shirt is tight.
That's it. Like, that was the thing. I put on 15 pounds after I started doing stand-up a few years ago. And it was like, thank the good Lord that I actually have a full-time job. Because if I didn't, this was all I put on 300 pounds in my first year from all the drinking and eating and eating
yeah.
and drinking from like... This is why there are coke habits in comedy.
Yeah.
That counteracts all of the
I mean, I take Adderall, but I feel like it doesn't help me.
No. You gotta start snorting that
yeah.
shit.
God, I just need to get right to my brain.
So, when did you realize, like, comedy was a big passion to the degree that it, you know, you...
I've always loved okay. comedy as far back as I remember.
Like
watching
stand-up.
Yeah, okay. I remember watching when I was young, Chris Rock's Bigger and Blacker,
mm-hmm.
And immediately being like, this is the
yeah.
best thing I've ever seen. And I just ate up as much stand-up as I could mm-hmm. my whole life. And throughout my 20s, I was like, I could do that. I'm a funny guy.
Yeah.
And I always just, the apathy kicked in, and I was like, I'll get to it someday.
Sure.
And it took one of my friends literally calling the Funny Stop and saying,
oh,
yeah, yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
I've
been have friends
yeah,
like that.
Your friends believed in
yeah.
you.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. And it's, like I said, being on stage is my favorite thing in the world. There's no better feeling than getting laughs when you're on stage.
Yeah. When you're on stage and everything and things are working.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah.
When you're on stage and it's not working, you're
I want to die now. I've even started to enjoy the times not doing so well because you start to look at it like a puzzle.
Yes.
And like,
yeah.
like,
yeah.
okay, well, this is why this didn't work.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I mean, I feel like apathy is a huge asset when you do comedy, because if you're the kind of person who has a thin skin or is
100%.
Very like sensitive, you will never go back on stage again after the
yeah.
first time.
But also it's like a fine line, because if you can be too apathetic, then you're like,
I'm just keep doing the same thing.
Yeah, you'll yeah. keep doing the same thing over and over again. So you gotta find like that middle ground where you're like, I'm gonna take the feedback. But there's, like, taking the feedback and then not taking it to heart.
Have
yeah.
you also found, because you had mentioned you were, you know, I think you said you were medicated for anxiety and
yeah.
depression. Have you found that that has helped strike that balance between, like, apathy and actually giving a shit about, you know, the things that you want to give a shit about? Or has that not really made a difference? It's more been just...
I think
just,
I need more time with the
okay.
experiment running to
okay.
make that kind of...
Okay.
Can draw that kind of conclusion. I'm not sure.
Okay.
I have been, I know that I have been caring more
mm-hmm.
over
it
the past
like
year.
You're on a good road.
You do. You
I am like
a
I'm,
great balance.
I'm actually in a really good place in my life for the first time ever in my
good.
Life.
Right? Don't you love it sometimes when those drugs kick in? You're like, oh my God, is this how normal people feel?
Yes.
Yeah.
Like all the time.
Yes.
Like, I just feel like, oh, I could do things if I want to.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
you're like, what the fuck?
Yeah. It's.
Is this the human experience?
And this is why I get pissed off when people, like, not to always bring it back to guns, but when shootings happen and people start to blame mentally ill people and medications.
Bunch of bullshit.
Yes, medications can be dangerous. Medications also can save lives.
Yep. More often than not.
Yeah, exactly.
More often it's, they're helping people.
Yes. Yeah.
They're like, oh, they're depressed, so they went and shot a bunch of people. I'm like, if they were just depressed, they would have just shot themselves.
I think what's the hardest thing about now, and I know this has been said a million times, this is not like a revolutionary point of view, but it's just the idea that like because we all have this forum in which we can publicly express our theories and like why shit happens, you know what I mean? Everyone's trying to come up with their own theory, and it's like, yeah. Because they were bullied, because nobody slept with them, because they had mental illness, because they had mental illness and were taking drugs for it. It's because
they were weird white dudes.
Because they were white, yeah. It's like
100 million. That one might be true. I'm like, I'm not going to lie. I think there's.
and again, that goes back to like, I know a million weird white dudes and they never killed anybody.
I'm a weird white dude.
I think it's also because there were a couple shootings of, it was like Asian men. I'll just say men then.
Sure.
But they were...
Men do shoot people more than women do.
Yeah,
so much more.
And men commit suicide more than women.
Yeah.
It's you know what's interesting to me? And violence and all of that happens more with men. And part of it, it's like these guys who sometimes you see shooting up places like... there was, I think he was Asian in California, and his parents were somewhat famous. And it was like, his whole thing was talking about how like women weren't giving him attention.
Virginia Tech, the guy was
Asian. And it was the same thing. But they were talking about how like they owe him attention. And I'm like, I don't think it has anything to do with their race or anything like that. I think it
some
has to do with
just
their
broken. Some people are just broken.
Like toxic masculinity that happens a lot. That's maybe that makes men more
violent.
I don't
even think it's that. Well, I mean, testosterone levels.
Yeah.
Well, I'm saying that versus women. There's way different social pressures on
but women I mean but women also kill their kids more often than men do.
Yeah.
I mean everybody's people are just broken sometimes. Yeah. That's
no,
all
for
I mean
sure.
Yeah, it's
and they all handle the brokenness
in different
but
ways.
But they're broken in different ways.
Right.
Yeah.
They and I mean any sort of outcome where it's like, I'm going to kill people is obviously bad. It's just, it's interesting to look across the spectrum as like, yeah, only white dudes shoot up places. Okay, but to your point, white women will often like murder their children. And then to that point, like African Americans have a lot of like in within like their group of people, like murder each other. If it's whether it's gang violence or whether, you know what I mean? Like there's always some form of murdering and violence going on.
Well, there's always a top statistic for sure.
Right.
Like, but that, and obviously that's not to speak to everything in every situation, which I feel like, you know, you can't paint with too broad of a brush.
Right.
For
and you start to get
situations.
Into correlation and causation
right.
kind
yeah,
of stuff.
Yeah, and totally. And some of that is born, I think, out of things just like, if you are going to paint with a broad stroke, because those are the statistics, it's like some of it is, you know, like not women not being able to deal with like
postpartum depression. Yeah.
And some of it is toxic masculinity.
And some of it is
like,
Poverty.
And
I have a question.
Systematic racism.
I've heard the phrase toxic masculinity a bunch before. I don't know exactly what it is.
So my impression, and again, I'm not super duper woke, but like,
oh, you sound like such an old lady.
I know, I'm not super woke, but like the thing is that I've found is that like the best example I can give you is I saw Trevor Noah perform back in January at the State Theater.
Cute.
He's so good.
But
he was talking about how he went to like, I want to say it was like Bali or somewhere for vacation. And there was like a snake handler and like he was holding a fucking cobra like and it still had like its fang and its venom and like all that shit.
Nope.
They were like, do you want to hold him? And he was like, no. And the guy was like, ooh, are you scared of the snake? And he's like, I don't have fucking toxic masculinity. Yes, this is a fucking poisonous snake.
Yeah.
I am fucking afraid. So just the whole idea that you can be bullied into like doing
manning
something.
Up.
Yeah. Right.
Or
okay.
Being called a pussy, which is
right.
Absolutely stupid because what man has pushed a baby out of his penis? Like, yeah, pussy's the weakest thing.
Yeah,
ever.
Exactly.
Like, fuck you.
Regardless.
Guys can hardly handle kidney stones. Like,
regardless
screw
of
you.
The terminology.
I've said before when it comes to like being sick or things like that, women are just better than men at it. My girlfriend, if she gets sick, my female friends, when they get sick, they go on with life. When I get sick, I turn into a 3-year-old. I'm a huge baby. I don't want to be bothered.
Yeah.
I cannot handle it. And I think it's because as women, you're used to your bodies betraying you all the time with a bunch of random stuff.
If you haven't been in high school and popped 6 Tylenol to try to get rid of your cramps in the middle of the day, like, Come on.
I take prescription ibuprofen. I pop one and I'm good for like 3 days. Yeah, because they equal six. Those things are fantastic.
My mom gives me some and they're great.
The point remains.
Well, we're talking, so I think when it comes to toxic masculinity and stuff, part of it is what it means is like, you're assuming that like men and women are, like, it's one of those things where it's just stereotyping.
Yeah.
It's stereotyping on both sides. It's like, no, we're all just people. And people don't want to hold poisonous snakes. Right. Reasonable people don't want to hold poisonous snakes.
To make you feel like you're a man or a woman. Yeah, because you want to do, you don't want to do something that logically no one would want to do for the sake of like fucking evolution. I'd like to keep living and at some point procreate. I don't want to hold a poisonous snake and I shouldn't have to feel like I'm inferior because I chose to do something.
And it's the same thing when it comes to crying, like men and crying. It's just like, someone dies or you watch something emotional, men cry and that's a weakness. And like, or they're really sad.
My boyfriend cries.
I am a movie crier. Yeah. I will cry at any.
Oh yeah, my boyfriend will cry during previews. It's ridiculous.
I love Adam even more.
Yeah, see, you tell him that.
You just need to clone him, please. I've asked him. I've asked
he
Jess.
He doesn't have a brother.
If he has a brother, no. He only has a sister, and I'm not gay.
Married. Yeah. Well, no,
married is one that I could have handled it if I was gay. I don't worked it out, but they don't sound like
it worked past.
It doesn't sound like they're a lot alike, and I'm not gay.
I really want to play him this recording, even though it's not going to come out for another 6 weeks, because he's convinced that like all my friends are like just milquetoast, and I'm like, no, if I broke up with you, I'd have no more friends left, because they're
be your friend.
But
so toxic masculinity, it's just more of like putting weird social pressures on men to be things that are more or less than what should just be like a human experience, in my opinion. That's what that is.
Just okay.
The same thing when it comes to things that are like people expecting women to be overly feminine and pretty and wearing and makeup and doing all stuff. I'm like, you know, it's just like, or you could just be a person.
Yeah. That's my thing. I'm all about the individual. The person is the person.
That's where apathy is great, because it's just like, accept everybody for who they fucking are.
Right?
Who gives a shit?
And yeah. Also, there's nothing.
And if I don't like someone, okay, I'm just not going to be around them.
Right.
Like, it's not
that
hard.
It's not the end of the world. You don't have a vendetta.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Not to say there's anything wrong with someone who enjoys being feminine or someone who enjoys like being masculine or anything like that. It's just more like when you're trying to shove it on other people and shove it down
everybody
their
throat.
Everybody
should just be allowed to do what they want to do without it being
like,
shoved down your
throat. If that's what you
throat.
Like, the end.
Yeah.
Like,
I think that more people need to just not give a shit.
Yes!
I go down the street with my windows down blaring Taylor Swift all the time.
Shit's catchy.
And I am singing...
I'm embarrassed because I'm like,
I don't know about
music,
you,
but
I'm feeling 22 all day, and I do not care who sees me.
I've told Jess about this, and I even have part of it like in my stand-up where I talk about like I enjoy history because my dad is like super into like wartime history, and it rubbed off on me, and I think it's interesting, and I like watching sports, and if I had a flippin' nickel for every guy who said, really? I'm like, yeah, it's almost like I'm a person with interests.
So my joke is that I love that I can literally do something as simple as drink a craft beer. And dudes are like,
God. You like beer?
You like craft beer? And I'm like,
you
man.
You can handle an IPA?
It is so great to
Christ.
Benefit from low expectations.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
I think Jess has like the opposite
anything
thing.
From us. Where it's just like, oh shit, you know about something that's not mainstream. Oh my God.
I also think that
and I get annoyed every time.
I think that a lot of guys try to pull this bullshit maneuver where they're like, oh, you're into a thing that makes you so cool and interesting,
yeah,
and I think you're cool and interesting.
Right.
And
but they do it
most
like
of what guys do are just
way.
Douchey
so
ways
basic.
Of trying to get laid.
It's so
basic. So
condescending.
Yeah, yeah.
And that pisses me like, oh, God.
And I'm not going to lie. Like, when I was in high school, I was that kind of douchey, too.
But
the problem is
the
most
people
don't
raised.
Grow out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, God. And they're
yeah.
like, oh, you like something that I like? I guess you're
so
cool.
So I think the
like,
thing
or I'll quiz you.
Yeah.
But, like, how often are women doing that to men on dates? It's significantly less.
I think, so here's the thing. I think you and I are coming at it from two different angles, which is interesting because, like, for me, like, I've always been overly emotional, so I put a lot of value in, like, caring less. Where have you found that this has tripped you up? Like, where is it a bad thing? When do you really need to start putting, like, the brakes on apathy? That's what I want to know.
Not letting people close to me for my entire life.
Okay.
And again, it's changing
it's
recently,
a process.
But it's throughout my entire life. It was, like I said earlier,
I'm about your girlfriend and like how that affects her. So obviously she's ridden through some of that.
Yeah.
And so now she's seeing you like getting better.
The good thing about my girlfriend, we're complete opposites. So she is very structured and is great at planning, but she's not great at like going with the flow and winging it. I'm amazing at winging it.
Good.
I suck at planning.
Do you balance? Do you find that balance?
Yes. Together well? Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. That's it. Like, I'm in one of the happiest relationships I've ever been in because we literally balance the shit out of each other. Like, he is very, like, stingy as shit. And I'm like, spend all the money. And he's just like, we gotta stop.
But
and
you
I'm
guys
like,
are
yes,
both
good.
Awesome. So,
well,
there's balance.
It helps because, like, the thing is, too, I used to be way too emotionally invested in relationships. And then his whole thing is he's never been in a relationship. So he doesn't even really know, like, how clingy, like, people are usually in relationships. Mm-hmm. And I've become so, like, emotionally independent to a degree that I almost consider apathetic. That it's like it balances really fucking well because like I think if I used to be as like clangy as I used to be, you'd be like, "What the shit is happening?" You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But then you told me every time he gets drunk, he just tweets about how much he loves her.
It's true. Oh, that
like,
is adorable.
Is so
That's like, the thing. I'm such a fucking narcissist. You and I talked about this because are you going to start a podcast soon?
I am.
Okay,
yes.
Okay. Yes. Please talk about that.
I am going to start a podcast soon.
Okay.
It's going to be called I Still Like You. And it's going to be basically what we did on Facebook.
Yeah, yeah.
Talking about things that are very touchy issues. I'm going to be each.
There needs to be more of those.
I'm glad
that that's like a new thing that seems to be happening with media.
That's actually so unique outside of like what people are doing locally here, which
yeah,
I love.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's going to be three rules for the podcast. The first rule is you're not allowed to seriously insult or yell. I'm friends with a lot of comedians and we insult each other.
Yeah.
But you're not allowed to seriously.
Don't be mean. Yeah.
Exactly. The second one is you're not allowed to assign motive or intent to the person. So if we were talking about guns, I'm not allowed to be like, you just hate freedom.
Yeah.
You have to talk to each other and feel
going
it out.
Going back to the like being logical or like, you can't make other people realize things about themselves either.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
When you're like, feel like they're coming from a weird emotional space, you're like, can't tell them that.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
Because they don't, unless they're doing it on their own, it's not going to make a difference.
Exactly, right? Yeah. And then the third and final rule is every podcast is going to end with both people saying, I still like
thank
and respect you.
Yeah. I want to die. It's so good. I want to be on it.
Me too.
Both of you were invited.
Yay!
To and I also, I decided I'm going to each episode, the guest gets to pick the topic because
cool.
I don't want it to be like,
that's what
I want to talk about guns, so I'm going to pick someone
right.
who doesn't know
corner
anything about guns.
You,
yeah. Yeah,
good,
yeah.
I can study. I will win.
One thing Dan and I both said, because I was telling him, like, I do a podcast, and I was like, so many of us do podcasts because we're narcissistic as fuck.
Yeah.
And that's my thing. Like, I love having a boyfriend who worships the ground I walk on because I'm narcissistic as fuck.
And he's so nice.
But it's so good to be able to channel that narcissism into something
productive
rather
yeah.
than just being a dick to people.
Well,
because a lot of narcissists are just, they treat people like shit. And
you're talking about the guys that I've dated. I swear.
Personally attacked.
Every time with this guy. Sorry.
Well, no, you're fine. Sorry, Pete. The tinnitus has returned. Oh. Tinnitus, you're a cruel mistress. No.
Yeah, I know how much that hurts.
Sorry,
Archer.
No, but like,
Archer.
Yes, yeah. She and I are upset. Like, we've been texting each other Archer memes like all week. It's ridiculous.
So, one of my, I was commenting on your cartoon tattoo.
Yeah.
One of mine is Stewie from Family Guy, which I hate at this point. But the other one, I have Seamus tattooed.
Yes!
Yeah. The wee baby Seamus.
I have.
I'm planning on getting Dicky on
oh
the other
my
side.
God, I'm just talking.
I cosplay Pam.
Nice.
And I've got
nice.
My best friend who cosplays Cheryl. I love you so much.
Those might be my two favorite characters.
I'm gonna cosplay
show.
As Katya,
Pam
and then my boyfriend
amazing.
Looks
yeah.
just like Barry. He's like 6'5" and
nice.
He's
blonde.
I'll go into the yeah. anime convention.
Well,
awesome.
But, so I got this Pam shirt that my best friend got me, where it's just like on the front, it's like whipped cream on the boobs.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
And that's her tattoo on the back, and
awesome.
It's like that, like Pam flesh colored.
Yeah.
And so one time my friend was like, "I'll buy you a 40 if you drink it," and then when we got back to my apartment to play a drinking game to the movie Clue, and she got me the 40 at the 7-Eleven, I surprised her. I went and put on the Pam shirt, and then I was like, it's a 40! somebody shower me. And that's how we spent the night.
Awesome.
We literally were sitting in a bar just last week, and I was like, you know, it would be a really good best friend tattoo if you got Dickie and I got Seamus.
Nice.
Like, yeah, we literally done.
That wedding dress situation is going to be so awkward. My grandma's going to be like, who's Seamus? It was actually, that was the name that I named my first car.
The wee
car.
Baby.
The that, wee baby Seamus.
I named my first car Seamus.
Nice. Yeah, I told her my my Wi-Fi in my apartment is Smoke Bomb from Krieger. And it's just like, Smoke Bomb!
Nice.
Oh,
oh, Krieger's great, too. It's nothing yeah, but so great characters.
Yeah. I sent her
Piggly, too.
She said, so she used to have
Martha Jalouow all over again.
She said she used to have a ringtone where it was just like, immigrants!
Yeah. Oh, my God. Mallory Archer. It might be my... I just want to be here when I grow up so bad. I just want to drink all day and wear Chanel. It's the dream. And she's so funny, but my text tone back in the day when I had like an Android phone and you had like that Zedge app, which I think still exists, but my text tone was kind of long, but it used to be immigrants. That's how they do, you know? Driving around, listening to raps, and shooting all the jobs. It's a Mallory Archer quote. And I'm like, man, that was only a few years ago.
What's amazing?
That would fly so much less
right.
now.
Yeah. But what's amazing is so she
but
had
I'd
this like
still have it.
Inappropriate text tone way before I met her. My ringtone up until like 6 months ago was literally Mulatto Butts.
Which is my
Mulatto
best.
Butts.
Mulatto Butts. That's my wet butts.
That's my
butts.
Best friend's text ringtone for
yeah.
me. When
nice.
I call her, it's Mulatto Butts. And they've only met each other very recently.
Yeah.
And they did not discuss
no idea.
Ringtones.
That's
well,
awesome.
And the best part was that was my alarm on my phone. So there'd be times where my boyfriend would be sleeping. And then he'd get woken up at 5 in the morning by, black and white butts. Black and white butts. And he's like, what the fuck is going on right
black
now?
Black ass mom.
White ass daddy.
Everyone should go watch Archer
go,
right
yes,
now.
Go
wait,
watch
just
Archer.
Stop
the podcast.
Go. Yes. Just go watch it. Watch all
the Archer's
episodes.
The best thing that ever happened to you. You just don't know it yet.
You don't know it. Yeah. I have Archer pop art all over my apartment. Like,
so
does
my
and
best
shit.
Friend.
Nice.
This is why Jess yeah. is like turning into my other best
it's
friend.
It's ridiculous. Nice. It's so ridiculous.
Oh, you have Archer shit on your wall? We just became best friends. Like, I already told her it was like stepbrothers. Like, our friendship is like stepbrothers. We just become friends. Best friends. Yup. Yeah. And then we did karate.
Favorite
in the
non-pornographic magazine to jerk off to.
Oh my God,
favorite dinosaur. Someone starts singing "The Time to Say Goodbye."
Oh my God,
so beautiful.
Oh my God, this was so much fun. Thank you so much, Dan Experience, for coming here.
Is it over already?
This was so great.
Oh, this flew by.
I know.
Wow.
Well, what's funny is like I literally have episodes where I'm just like, oh my God. Can this please be over soon? And this is the episode where I'm like, I gotta stop.
I'm
it.
Glad I was entertaining.
Yeah, no, this is good. Okay, so you have I Still Like You coming up.
Yep.
Do you have an idea? Like, do you have a time frame yet? Or
I do not.
Okay.
So I will let you know.
Yes,
if,
please do,
yeah.
We'll totally promote it here on the show.
Yeah.
Do you
and definitely both of you are invited to be on it when I do
would
start
love
it up. So.
That. Are you on social do you have a social media presence?
No,
you
I just
about?
Don't care enough.
Okay. That's good.
Just
I mean,
full circle, trains back on the track.
It's good.
I mean, I'm on aliens. Facebook, but... Nah.
Are you going to do comedy again anytime soon? I would encourage you to do so.
I
have
should.
Shows. I Why run not? Two shows. You should come do one of my shows sometime.
Maybe sure. I will.
I would love that. I mean, it's in Cleveland.
Let me work on getting a few
Sundays,
minutes.
And it's very early on Sundays, too, so it's not like you'd be out all night.
How early on Sunday?
7. So it's not terrible.
Oh, yeah. Like early in the evening.
Yeah,
not,
yeah,
okay,
yeah,
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 yeah. Not like 7.
Why, I don't know why I would even think 7
in the morning.
That's when everyone
rises and shine.
Everyone likes to giggle in public.
Drunk from the night before.
Yeah, oh my God, we should start
Dick
a comedy
jump.
Show that starts
called Wait the Fuck Up.
When bars close. Last call.
Hey!
BYOB.
Oh, that will be the worst show in the world. Just
so
belligerent assholes.
Oh God, it's like.
Did you ever notice when your dick is limp from whiskey?
And then, hold on, I'll show you. You're like, no, no, no.
Oh God, what have we done? Lizzie,
what's up?
What do you have going on? You are one of my colleagues at SX1 Entertainment.
Yes.
So you're going to be affiliated with all the shit I'm going to talk about in a minute. But do you have anything independently going on beginning of June? Social media presence? Anything you want to talk about?
Beginning of June. This one's
that's
when that's
when this
happen.
Is
going to
air. Yes.
Okay. Well, it might be over then, but. My best friend and I do panels at anime conventions.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
Because we're super cool. Called Trial and Error.
It'll be the day before the Calgary.
Oh my gosh, yes, everyone go to ColossalCon. Yeah. Everybody go to ColossalCon, the anime convention at Kalahari Water Park in Sandusky, Ohio. It's not that far away.
They're doing an anime convention They've been
doing an anime convention at Kalahari. So I've been going to ColossalCon for like 11 years now. And my best friend and I started there. And we started doing panels, and now we're featured panelists.
Ooh.
So if you go on their website under like featured guests or panelists, Trial and Error is there, and we do a bunch of really awesome, stupid panels, including hentai games. That's right. There's a panel on games that involve hentai.
It's Japanese porn.
What's touching me?
Everyone knows what hentai is.
Okay, I'm just making sure.
There's a lot of tentacles.
I have a couple Amish followers.
There's a pin the nipple game. There's a what's touching me game.
I like that one.
I bet it's a tentacle.
it's random things from
my
the
My favorite thing is we were just telling Spider about this the other night, Spider Jones, and he was just like, nope, game. I'm out.
He was like, maybe I'd go to this anime convention. What's touching me? Shit's gonna touch me! And then
he already doesn't like people touching him, let alone like tentacles. Dildos and whatever else is probably going on.
But so Kelsey and I, we're doing 4 panels at ColossalCon in Sandusky. People should go because it's super funny. And super fun. The people watching is choice.
Yeah.
Also water park.
Yeah. I've never been, but I've heard it's fun. Yeah, you guys should do that shit. So you can also catch Elizabeth and I at the first and third Sundays of every month at Skidmark Garage. First and third Sundays of every month, 7 p.m. It's called Couch Gags, and it's a showcase. Like I said, Dan, you should totally come out and do a set at some point. It's super fun because it's a motorcycle garage and people can bring their own beer and bring
and
their
puppies.
Own dogs. And
can I bring my cats? I wouldn't want
to
bring my cats.
I mean, you wouldn't want to.
I mean, you I don't, could. Like, Brutus is like a dog. He could
Brutus
come.
Is like a dog.
Can I take him?
Yeah,
can
you can
he
bring
be my
well,
dog?
You have to ask Ty, but... and then you can also catch me the last Sunday of every month at Bar Louie for our toast prattle. If you've ever had the urge to watch people compliment each other in joke format, that's a super fun thing. It's 7 p.m. last Sunday of every month at Bar Louie downtown. You can catch me at Epic Fall on Instagram and Twitter, EPICFAUL. And we used to do a dramatic sound effect at the end of every episode, but now I don't know what we're gonna do. So sorry for those of you that have just turned into that works.
Wow, see,
let's do that. Okay, love you, bye.